Okay, let me welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, thank you all for participating. I know that Jeff has prayed over this and studied and asked the Lord to give him what would be for our best welfare today, that he can come to us and give us what we need, that he can truly do the things that the Lord has asked him to do in his service. So please give a prayer both for Jeff and for yourself, that you would be receptive to the message the Lord has placed on Jeff's heart this morning. And with that, I'll turn it over to my brother, Jeff Oldham.
Thank you, Benny, and good morning, everyone. Excited that we have this opportunity, and definitely appreciative of the opportunity to serve. I'm gonna dive right in here, and I want to get started with a few verses before I give my thoughts around what I have or what I feel that I've been given to share. So I'm gonna ask you everyone to turn to Proverbs, the third chapter. And I'm going to start at the fifth verse. Again, that's Proverbs, the third chapter. I'm going to start at the fifth verse. If you have your books and follow along, I'll try to give you a second there to find your places. Proverbs 3, I'm going to start at 5. Definitely not a new verse for us, or not a should not be new to us at all. Familiar verses here, and it starts off in Proverbs, the third chapter. Again, in the fifth verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to the navel and marrow to the bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits and thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. These verses are ones that really have been on my mind a lot lately, and ones that I know that in our own abilities, in our own human strengths, that we are weak ourselves, but that truly we have to trust in the Lord. You know, kind of going back through those verses, and it really starts off in that first verse, here in that fifth verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, and clearly, you know, it's should not be new to us, should not be anything that we have to even second guess. Very simple to understand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, as a young person, I think probably easier as a very small young person. But unfortunately, in our lives, and unfortunately, in what we do, we tend to just our natural human being is to fall away from that. In the sixth verse, it continues on, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And in the seventh verse, and really, I want to focus on that seventh verse for now. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, you know, I think about that. What does that mean, to be not wise in thine own eyes? And really, you know, we unfortunately have so many examples around us of those that are wise in their own eyes. But today, my focus is on us, not looking at those around us, not looking at those outside of our own bodies, but clearly, the focus is on us, and what is our focus, and where is our eyes, and where are we striving towards, and what are we striving to be? In the eighth verse, it continues on, it shall be health to thy navel. You know, so that strength to help us, that we are honoring the Lord, and that we are giving of our substance to him. It's been several months ago. We were down in Independence visiting family, and I sat in a Sunday school class, and And my Aunt Michelle Fisher had shared kind of a diagram, and it's one that I've used this in a sermon before at the Independence Local, and one that I wanted to share with you, because it really it makes a lot of sense. It's very simple. My Aunt Michelle had gotten this from a Bible study class that she attended, and she said that the instructor of the class called it the God cycle. And it's really that cycle of that ebb and flow of brothers and sisters, or of examples that we've seen, kind of the ebb and flow of righteousness, the strengthening and the falling away. And in this diagram she showed, and we were studying something in that Sunday school class in the Book of Mormon, and if you think of a circle, really no start and no end to this circle, if you think about there are, let's see, what, six different portions of this cycle that she talks about. So understanding that where one starts, the next one ends and continues on throughout the cycle. So if you just envision a circle, and I'll start with the first one, but there's really no first starting point within the circle. But I'll just start with one. And the first one is, ingratitude. So think of many examples throughout the Book of Mormon and different stories that you've studied, and you think about the ebb and flow of righteousness of the Nephites, and how they started off in different times very focused, very committed to God, to Christ, but had fallen away. So if you think about this in this God cycle, so the first point I'll talk about is ingratitude, is so that lack of respect or that lack of appreciation for the blessings that we receive. The next one, if you just keep going around the circle, would be idolatry, or a focus on self. The lack of commitment and the lack of direction. The next one is disciplined. And what they mean by that, and really within this cycle, is that discipline falling away, is a lack of discipline. And then the next one is helplessness. So as that, starting with that ingratitude, into that idolatry, into the discipline, into the helplessness, is that continuing falling away from Christ, almost to that point of that hopelessness in that area. And then the next one is into deliverance, where Christ or God comes back into their lives, where Christ comes back in and starts to touch, and then into blessings. And so within the circle, these six points that go around the circle is really the example that I want to share with us. And if we think in our own lives, and I would challenge each of you just to think in your own lives, is where are you in this cycle? Where are we in our spiritual lives? Where are we in our lives and our commitment and our focus on Christ? So if you have any acceptance or any belief in this cycle, understanding where we're at really falls back onto is do we truly trust in the Lord? If you go back to the fifth verse in Proverbs, do we truly trust in the Lord? Do we lean not unto our own understanding? And that's tough. I mean, we have to make decisions. We have to step out in faith. And are we doing that with Christ in our lives? Turn with me to Proverbs, the 13th chapter. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, I'm going to start at the 9th verse. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And really, these verses is very simple to understand, right? In the 10th verse, only by pride cometh contention, right? So go back to that cycle diagram, God's cycle diagram, and at that point in that cycle, or at that point in that circle where there is ingratitude or where there is idolatry, and that focus on self, is where we see pride come in. And where there's pride cometh contention. And in the 11th verse, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And the key words there is, gathereth by labor shall increase. It's very simple, very easy to understand. You know, the times that we live in, so often our success is really measured by things or our stuff. You know, what we have or what we own. Michelle and I were just talking about this the other day, you know, and we had a group of boys over, and to hear the conversation going on in the back of our car as we were hauling these boys around, you know, really, you know, it's somewhat comical to sit there and listen to the conversation, but at the same time, you know, it's tough to think about, you know, the things and the focus that challenges our youth. I once read, and no surprise to anyone, that pride is considered one of the seven deadly sins, and I know you know that, thought to be really one of the worst and the root of all. As you think about the seven deadly sins, pride, covetousness, lust, anger, envy, and sloth, you know, that pride, where pride is, you know, much like in that 10th verse, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And that is my thought, and really where my thoughts had been, and my thought had been on that trust in the Lord. As I heard those boys in the back of my car talking the other day, all innocent, all very good, but that challenge that I think our youth face, and my concern for the youth of our lives and the youth in our families and the kids around us is that truly, you know, I look at the talents of kids I see, and fortunately for us, there's always a house full of kids over. I love it. I love to see it. I love to talk to the kids. I love to get an idea of what's going on in their lives. And as I look at these kids, you know, definitely a huge talent of kids and a very bright future that I see. But that concern of where are those stumbling blocks, or where are those things in life that can pull them away? You know, you think about that God cycle, and you think about where kids can get pulled away and the things that set them apart. You know, my fear is that do we truly trust in the Lord? As a young person, I think about that, and I get concerned. And when I pray, you know, I try to ask the Lord that he would light that path in front of them. And much like the 6th verse back in Proverbs, it says, you know, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, and ultimately that is my prayer for the kids, is that they would have that path lit in front of them. Turn with me to Jacob, and I'm going to go to the second chapter in the book of Jacob, in the Book of Mormon. And we're going to go to Jacob, the second chapter, and I'm going to start at the 14th verse. And now, behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, doth abound most plentifully. And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly, that you have obtained many riches. I want to key on the 16th verse here now. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, you are lifted up in pride in your hearts, and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren because that you suppose that you are better than they. And now, my brethren, do you suppose that God justify you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you, and if you persist in these things, his judgments must speedily come unto you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye he can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that you would listen unto the word of his commands, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. You know, and I'm going to stop there, and I want to keep going and further in that, so keep your finger there. But you know, where I thought about this a lot, and we had been studying within the Book of Mormon, and when we read this recently, there were several things that really came to my mind. And in that 16th verse, you know, it says is, and really from the 14th and 15th verse, you know, it talks about, you know, behold my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, you know, that many of you have begun to search for gold. And then in the 16th verse it goes in, and it's distinctly different, but it really starts to drive down towards, and because that some of you obtain more abundantly than that of your brethren, you are lifted up in pride of your hearts, and wear stiff neck and high heads. You know, the risk is, and we understand this, right? It's simple to understand, and we understand that, you know, again, going back in Proverbs, where is our focus? Where is our time? Where is our attention? You know, and in the 17th verse, it goes on and it talks about, do you suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Right? That pride, that contention, the pride of our hearts, the pride of the way that we wear our heads, you know. I am truly for working hard and doing well and exceeding in what we do and striving towards bettering ourselves and bettering those around us, you know. But ultimately, it's what we do and how we deal with what we have been blessed with, you know. And in the 17th verse, there, you know, do not suppose that God justifieth you in that stiff neck, right? It's not that God doesn't justify us if we are doing okay in our financial lives, but it's what do we do when we are there? And you know, really, that lesson for me, and I'm going to skip down to the 23rd verse, but before ye seek for riches, seek ye the kingdom of God. You know, it's not a go seek, go plunder, go steal, go build up, and then go seek the kingdom of God. But before we seek anything, you know, before we continue on in our adult lives, before we continue on in our lives at all, you know, we have to have that foundation. We have to have that very beginning. You know, we have to have that childlike trust in the Lord, that truly that which we are given, the blessings, the talents, the abilities that we have are truly given of the Lord. And so I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to pick back up at the 24th verse there. And after that ye obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches. If ye seek them, and you seek them, for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and to minister relief to the sick and the afflicted. And now, brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because that you which are proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you, what say ye of it? Do you not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other, and all flesh is of the dust, and for the selfsame end hath he created them, that they should keep his commandments and glorify him forever. And now I make an end of the speaking unto you concerning this pride. And really, as you go back and you think about these verses, and you think about where Jacob is warning those around him, you know, the warning of the wickedness, the risk of pride, the warning of where is your focus. You know, I like those verses in where it talks about it. It says, you know, in the 24th verse, and after that ye obtained a hope in Christ, right? It's a simple progression that we can understand. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. Build that foundation. Build that strengthening. And after that ye obtained that hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. In our spiritual lives, we can obtain those riches, those spiritual gifts, and those spiritual riches by building that foundation first. And it's a simple progression. It's not tough to understand. It's very simple to hopefully comprehend, but no doubt more challenging to follow. And so that's our challenge for us. So continuing on, I want to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to start Romans 12th chapter. I'm going to start the 14th verse. So I'll give you a second to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. All right, I'm going to start at the 14th verse there. bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. So already, you know, this verse starts off, or this right here in this portion, this reading starts off, you know, bless them that persecute you. Right? So it kind of goes back to, we're kind of shifting gears a little bit and changing direction. But you understand, you go back to what we were studying before and that building of that foundation first. And then the ability to bless them which persecute us, bless and curse not, hopefully becomes easier. But really, how do we do this? And this is the question for us. Continuing on, the 15th verse, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, kind of going back in that first verse, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You know, and so it challenges us, and it tells us it's not a challenge, it's an expectation that we bless which persecute us, that we bless and curse not. In the 16th verse, it says, be not wise in your own conceits, you know. And to me, that's the tie back to the very first verse I read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If that's the foundation, if that's the beginning that we have to build from, as we read in Romans here, be not wise in our own conceits. And I think they tie together very well. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. It's not about getting somebody back. It's not about that coming back after somebody, which what they have done to us. But it is not rendering evil for evil. Overcoming evil with good. So the big question is, you know, do we see this in our lives? What are the examples of things that we see, whether it's in the news, the examples of things just in our daily lives, if we, as we travel down that highway of life? So I want you to think about that. Turn with me to Psalms, the 10th chapter. I'm going to start just a couple of verses there. I'm going to start at verse 2. Psalms, the 10th chapter. And starting at verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, think about that, and think about those verses right there, just in that fourth verse. Or, I'm sorry, build up to it, you know, in the second verse. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. The third verse, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, the boasteth of his own strength, boasteth of the great things that he does. And in the fourth verse, I think, really sums it up then. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. The wicked, in his own pride, that sin that sets in within our hearts, you know, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts, right? Not difficult to understand, very simple. Just think about that, though, you know, that not in all his thoughts. And so the challenge to us is, as we look in our lives, you know, where are our thoughts? Where are we searching for? What are we seeking to? Continuing on, I'm going to go to 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. So in the Book of Mormon, the 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 72nd verse. All right, so in 2 Nephi, 11th chapter, the 72nd verse. But behold, the righteous that hearken unto the words of the prophets, and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness for the signs which are given. Notwithstanding all persecutions, behold, they are they which shall not perish. But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them. And they shall have peace with him until three generations shall have passed away, and many of the fourth generation shall have passed away in righteousness. And when these things shall have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh unto my people. For notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore, I know that it shall come to pass. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride, and in their foolishness they shall reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil, and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell, for the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul. And really, I read that and really wanted to focus in and key in on that 77th verse. You know, when the Spirit no longer is there to strive with man, then cometh the speedy destruction. Then cometh, you know, the challenges within our lives. Think about, you know, back to that example that I gave of that God cycle. You know, where ingratitude is, where the focus on the self is, you know, where helplessness is, you know, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord in our lives, and where is our focus? Continuing on, I'm going to go to the 2 Nephi, the 8th chapter. So just flip back a little bit there in 2 Nephi, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 24th verse. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And continue on. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself not. Therefore forgive him not. O ye wicked ones, enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust. For the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty shall smite thee. And it shall come to pass that the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts soon cometh upon all nations, yea, upon every one, yea, upon the proud and lofty, and upon every one which is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You know, and I'm sorry, I jumped from the 28th up to the 33rd verse, but to me, you know, it really comes back to, you know, if you go back to the 24th verse, you know, and if we're honest, you know, this is a tough one. You know, think about some work that you've done. Think about something that you've done, whether it's work on your house, whether it's cleaning up your car and polishing your car or shining up something that you have. You know, you feel good about the work that you've done. You feel good about whether it's, no matter what it is, you feel good about when you've really put your time and attention and focus on something, and you really have pride in, or you're proud of what you have. You know, the worship, the work of their hands, that which is their own fingers have made. But this is different, and this is different because this focus is on the idols. The focus is that it's not on, or I should say, the focus isn't on that is taking their focus away from the things where it should be in life. You know, going down to the 27th verse, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You know, that day and that time when people have fallen away, when truly the focus is pulled completely away from the Lord. So, in our jobs, in our lives, as parents, you know, we have expectations for our children. In school, teachers have expectations for their students. And the same thing should apply in our spiritual lives. God has expectations for us. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I'm just going to read two verses there. And this is around now, really think about the progression of where I've tried to share with you. You know, we start off with that simple foundation, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto our own understanding. You know, building that beginning and that understanding. To then where we shifted gears and we moved ahead and blessing them which persecute us, rejoicing in the Lord and continuing that focus clearly on the Lord. To now finally, what are those expectations for us? you know, in our spiritual lives, truly God has expectations for us. And so, again, a couple of verses I think easy to understand, starting at 13th verse in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Right? Very, very simple. Not tough to understand. We can read these words and understand it without any problem at all. Fear God. Right? We should have a natural fear. We should have that fear or that respect for God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Again, very simple to understand. Turn with me over to Alma, the third chapter. I'm just going to read two verses there. Again, back to and understanding the expectations that God has for us. Alma, the third chapter, the 50th and 51st verse. Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. And so to me, again, you know, it's behold, we must prepare, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. I think about, you know, there is if there are a lot of things in our lives that are clear distractions. There's no doubt of that. We each have that. We each understand that completely. You know, no doubt we look around us in the lives that we live and we see where pride is pulling people away from Christ. We think about this nation that we live in, and clearly, you know, we see a very different time. We see changing times. But all the more reason, right, or whether it's all the more reason or not, continually our focus has to be on Christ. You know, where are our eyes? Where is our focus? You know, are we worried about the new game or the new things that distract us? But clearly, where is our focus? You know, are we stripped of pride in our lives? If we are not, we have to, and we have to be prepared, and we have to prepare quickly. I want to close with this thought, and I'm going to close with 1 Timothy, the 12th chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse. In 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, I think it's the first chapter. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, and my challenge to each of you would be to carry this verse with us this week. Let no man despise thy youth. Right? Go back to that very first verse that I read. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. To me, right, I think of that as that foundation. That is the beginning. That is, as a child is, very simple. As a young child, a very non-complex life. You know, and in its 12th verse it says, let no man despise thy youth. Be an example to the believers. Be an example in our lives, in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Our challenge is how we carry ourselves in our daily lives. What we are or how we are cannot be hidden from Christ, right? The day of judgment will come, and that which we do and that which we have done will be seen and will be focused and will be highlighted. Do not let the vain things pull us down. And ultimately, you know, that is my goal, is that we can be believers, that we can be doing those things and following after the expectations that God has for us. That's my hope for each of us. And my prayer is for each of you. Thank you.
Jeff, Jerry, Benny's unable to come to the phone right now.
Okay. I'm going to stop the recording. Bear with me a second.